Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call tonight. You can call us toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Bless the program tonight. We just ask that you'd use it for your glory, Lord, and just pray that you'd help us to be able to point people to Christ and help people, encourage people, Lord, that are struggling with things from your word this evening, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope everybody had a great day yesterday celebrating the independence of our country, Independence Day. A lot of times we tend to say, well, happy 4th, have a happy 4th, have a happy 4th of July. Did you have a good 4th of July? And in a sense, what makes the 4th of July different from the 5th of July other than one more day in the calendar? No, what makes it different is it's Independence Day. And we celebrate the, that as the birthday of our nation. And so I trust you had a great day. I'll tell you, here in northeastern Ohio, I thought, you know, I woke up in a different state here this weekend because Friday was an absolutely gorgeous day. And if you're familiar with northeastern Ohio, to get, you know, one day, it's a good day all day long. You know, we joke, the rest of the country has climate. See, climate is where you know basically what's going on with the weather. You can be pretty much assured that if the weather guy, you know, if you're watching the weather and they say, oh, it's going to be warm and partly cloudy and dry today, you can pretty much expect that. And not in Northeast Ohio. We've got weather. Weather means you wonder whether it's going to be even close to what you saw in the forecast. You don't know what it's going to be. But Friday was an absolutely gorgeous day, of course, leading into the 4th of July weekend. And then yesterday for the 4th of July, not one day, but two absolutely spectacular days in a row. And then today, Sunday, another beautiful weather day. I must have woke up in another state other than Ohio. That's just all there is to it, especially Northeast Ohio. But I'm thankful for it, that's for sure. We don't get nice days, especially on the weekend, especially on a holiday like this. But I trust wherever you're at listening that you had a very wonderful and very blessed day for celebration of our nation's independence. Well, we'd love to hear from you tonight. If you've got questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air. And we have Fran calling in here this evening. And Fran, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you. I'm calling in about that Greek situation that Greece is supposed to be one of the countries.
Right.
You know, similar where we're going to go through. And I heard Japan also, their yen, you have to watch out for that. If there's a major drop in that also.
Right. Yeah. In fact, the Greeks voted no, was it yesterday or today? I guess it was just today. There was a referendum or whatever. Basically, it was the bailout terms that the European Union was going to try to set up to try to help Greece recover from the financial crisis there, and they voted no. They don't think they have to pay the money back, and there's going to be runs on the bank there. The banks were already this past week limiting how much money they could take out,
right.
And they're talking about to actually seizing people's bank deposits in Greece. So.
Yeah, I could see it's almost like what's going to happen in America if we don't get our
order. Yeah, I agree with you because in reality, and I'm not a financial expert, but I've heard some people on the radio talking that in some senses, our debt ratio is worse off than the Greek debt ratio.
Right.
And, you know, this is going to have an effect on the, certainly on the European banks. And I heard on the news, actually, on my way up to the radio station tonight, I guess the Asian markets are already opening, financial markets, stock markets and such. And it's affecting them already. So you know it's going to affect the European markets when they open in a few hours. And then, of course, when the American markets begin to open, I'm sure it's going to reverberate here. We already had a couple of days last week where the stock market here, the Dow, I believe it was, dropped by over 300 points, at least a couple of days. And somebody was suggesting on the news here this evening that there may be a 10% correction potentially in the market here, which would be, they said, well, I'm not going to get into all of that, but yeah, and when we look at what's been happening in our country, and especially in light of the Supreme Court decision a week ago Friday with same-sex marriage, it's like we're taking ourselves out from underneath God's protective hand, and you know, we really should not expect be spared the things that are happening in Europe happening here.
Right. So the Japanese yen is one of the Asian things that we were told that would get bad, and then we could fall off the next in line.
Oh, yeah. Well, Europe would be next, and then, of course, it'll reverberate across the Atlantic because some of the markets, you know, the markets are so tied into each other now. But
okay, well, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for calling. And even though, you know, we say, well, what's that got to do with the, you know, the theme of the program? But it is. It's current events. And the Bible talks about the instability of the latter days.
Right.
And that's what we see happening. And
Definitely.
That's a call for Christians to, you know, as the Bible says, look up. Our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
So, I appreciate
thank
that, Fran.
So
thank you. And appreciate the call. And if you've got a call, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And just touching on what Fran had there for just a moment more, I remember reading early last week how British investment advisors were advising the British client, their British clients, to take cash out of the bank because they're worried that this thing with the Greek banks will reverberate across the European banks. And, you know, if they freeze your bank account and you don't have any cash, you say, well, I got a debit card. If your bank account's froze, it's not going to do you any good. And there's some question as to your credit cards. But if you have cash, I mean, they literally were advising their clients in Great Britain last week to take cash out of the bank and, you know, just you know, store it in your mattress, basically. You know, invest it in the first National Bank of Sealy. There you go. But that's, you know, they're somewhat tongue-in-cheek about in the mattress, but the idea is they were suggesting that they had enough on hand that they could basically take care of themselves, you know, for a week or two with just the cash on hand. And you think how many people in this country do not carry cash. You know, just trust that the banks will be there and not close. But we've seen these things happen in the past. They could happen again. My parents were alive when the stock market crashed in 1929, and their families went through a lot of difficulties, as I'm sure many of our listeners can remember, either your family or maybe personal experience or knowing your parents or grandparents went through that. And as believers, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared not to be afraid, not to be panicky, but to remember that God is with us. He has a purpose for us. We're here in this time for a reason. And so I encourage you to take common sense preparations so that should there be some kind of a disruption in the world financial markets, that you'd be in a position where you can take care of your family, where you can maybe even be a blessing to those around you, your friends, and in your neighborhood. So I just want to let you think about that, consider that, doing what you can. It doesn't hurt always to have some supplies on hand and to take some common sense actions. You don't have to go overboard and to build a fortress and ready to take on the world. You know, God wants us to be witnesses to the world. And so, well, we've got another caller calling in. We've got John calling in. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, praise the Lord.
Hi, good evening.
I wanted to talk about the sodomite marriage thing that
yes.
they passed. I was preaching yesterday, and mm-hmm. I was talking about that and abortion and everything. And I went to Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 34th verse.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast." And
uh-huh.
I said, that's the way it was back when they put prayer out of the schools, and when they wanted abortion, and when they just passed this thing about the sodomite marriages. We know that, we know what God says about that, that it is an abomination unto the Lord. But I also said that it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal the land." And I called my little ministry to come into prayer for the nation.
Oh, absolutely. And let me add this to what you're saying there, John. Here's a companion passage to what you just read there in Chronicles, over in Jeremiah chapter 5. And I was sharing this on our program on Friday afternoon. For those that are listening in other parts of the country, we have a Friday program from 1:30 until 2 o'clock on the local station here, AM 1220, WHKW. And you can find that online. Actually, those programs are available at our website at livewithpastoral.com. But I was bringing out that we're in a day where, in a sense, our country's kind of taken the wrong turn. We've kind of gone over the precipice. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, Jeremiah is the Lord is talking to Jeremiah, talking about the sins of the people. And what you brought out, he said, "If my people, which are called by my name," now remember what you read, said if they'll basically turn back to the Lord and call out to him, right?
But amen.
But in Jeremiah's day, they weren't doing this. And
amen.
It says this in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30. He says, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" And
wow.
I'm afraid our country is going in this direction rather than in the other direction.
Amen.
You know,
you're right.
On the news locally in Cleveland, up in Cleveland last week, I think it was Monday on the news, they showed a pastor from the United Church of Christ, and as some people call it, the United Church of Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
but the United Church of Christ pastor was getting married, since they authorized this now, to his boyfriend. And
cool.
He said he was so happy that he could marry his boyfriend. Now he would perform weddings again, because he had stopped performing weddings because he wasn't allowed to do same-sex marriages. And the truth of the matter is, he could always do same-sex marriages. They just weren't recognized by the state. Of course, I'm using the term, you know, in the sense that they're using it, because it's not marriage in the biblical sense. It's a mockery of it. But we are. A wonderful, horrible thing is committed in the land. We saw that. The prophets
Amen.
Are prophesying falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And here's the problem. A lot of people, even people who claim to be God's people, I'm sorry, love to have it so. Let me read this to you here. And this was Ohio's Governor John Kasich, who wants to run for president. Here was his reaction on the Sunday after the Supreme Court ruling. He said, "It's time to move on." He said, "I think there are so many other things now that we have to focus on. In fact," he said, "we need to take a deep breath. The Supreme Court has ruled. It's the law of the land, and we'll abide by it." What does that sound like? Well, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets
exactly.
prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And so the question then comes, what will ye do in the end thereof? I mean, What are we going to do? And like you addressed your flock, what are we going to do? Are we going to roll over like Governor Kasich and say, well, Supreme Court's ruled. It's the law of the land. We'll abide by it. Nothing more to say here. Nothing more to look at here. Let's move on. Let's just roll with it and go on with our lives. Or are we going to turn back to God and call our nation to repentance?
Amen.
You know, hey, John, I appreciate that call tonight. And we still have freedom of speech. We
Amen.
Have it for a time. You know, the president said he has a pen and a phone, and he'll do things that the Constitution won't allow and Congress won't authorize with his pen and his phone. And so we got the First Amendment with freedom of speech right now until the president takes his pen and lines it out and then picks up his phone and calls the Supreme Court and tells them to get rid of it, rule it unconstitutional. But in the meanwhile, take advantage of the opportunities you have to be a witness and be a testimony and stand up for the truth.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call, John. And
okay.
We've got Doug calling in here as well. Doug, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, how you doing, Pastor?
Good, good. Good to have you.
Yeah, I've been hearing you before. You are good. I praise God for you and others that stands up for the truth. Now, first of all, when it comes to Kasich,
mm-hmm.
Saying that, move on and everything.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to take a look in the mirror because the Bible says that, you know, I will obey God rather than men. Now,
mm-hmm.
when Kasich talk about, well, let's move on, we could go along with the, what man said, that means that he is definitely in trouble with God.
Right. And, you know, the sad thing is he claims to be a born-again Christian. He should be one of these governors like in other states. I can't think off the top of my head. But there's several other states' governors who have said, we're going to fight this.
Right.
They're not rolling over. It's a states' rights issue. They're going to fight it. And we live in a federation of states. You know, the people don't realize this. The federal government is a construct of the states. It's not the other way around. The federal government exists because of the states. It's the United States of America. The states are not a department of the federal government, and that's why the Constitution specifically said that the things that weren't delegated to the federal government were reserved specifically to the states and the people, and that would include this. So,
man.
Yeah, but I appreciate you calling about this tonight. I appreciate that.
All right.
And,
God bless.
God bless. Thank you very much, and don't give up. Stay in the fight. And make a difference in the world around you. We live in troublesome times. We live in interesting times. That's for sure. Interesting times. I never thought that I would see this in my life. We could talk about this all night, but there's all kinds of things that we can talk about on the program. We don't have to stick with this subject. But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And remind you to visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we have past programs there. Our Friday programs, our Sunday night programs are on there. We don't have a huge staff. The IT staff in our church consists of me. we're a small church. Now, we do have a gentleman in our church who helps me out a little bit, but if I don't upload it, it doesn't get uploaded. So sometimes you have to bear with me to get things uploaded. But appreciate your prayers for our ministry. We thank God for the opportunity to do it. Hey, I wanted to talk about something else here, too. We got a few minutes before the break, and occasionally I'll get some questions via email or via letter. And some of that information will be given here in a minute during the break and at the end of the program. But I had a question from a gentleman down in Florida who listens, and he was asking some questions about in the Quran. And even though, you know, we're talking about questions about the Bible, this does bear on the Word of God. And a question, and I wanted to touch on this a little bit. The question was, is Imran of the line of Ishmael? And Imran, in the Quran, in Surah chapter 3 and verse 35 is listed as being, let me just read it right here. It said, "Remember when the wife of Imran said, 'My Lord, I have vowed unto thee that which is in my belly as consecrated offering, accept it from me. Lo, thou, only thou art here and knower.'" And the next verse says, "And when she was delivered, she said, 'My Lord, lo, I am delivered of a female. Allah knew best what she was, delivered. The male is not as the female. And lo, I have named her Mary. And lo, I crave thy protection for her and for her offspring from Satan the outcast.'" Then it goes on to talk about Zechariah and the birth of John the Baptist as it goes on through that. And the implication here in the Quran in Surah 3, in these verses here, is that Imran was the father of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the question was, is Imran of the line of Ishmael? Now, I did a little bit of looking into this, and let me see if I can shuffle my papers around here again and find this. There's several surahs in the Quran, and that's one of the reasons why I do not believe that the Quran is the Word of God, but the Bible is. And the Quran was put together by people who knew some Bible stories, and they find their way, albeit in a confused fashion, into the Word of God. And the Quran confuses Mary, the mother of Jesus, with Miriam, the sister of Aaron and Moses in the Old Testament, who lived about 1,400 years previous to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And you can see that in Surah chapter 19, I believe it's verses 27, 28, says, "At length she brought the babe to her people, carrying him in her arms, and they said, 'O Mary, truly a strange thing hast thou brought. O sister of Aaron, thy father was not a man of evil, nor your mother a woman unchaste.'" And see, they're confusing Mary as the sister of Aaron. And then over here again in Surah 66 in verse 12, it says, "And Mary, the daughter of Imran." Well, I looked up this guy Imran in the Bible, and that's a variant on the spelling of Amram. And Amram is in the Bible. And we'll find him right here in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, in verse, start in verse number 1. It says, "The sons of Levi." Now, notice we're the sons of Levi. This is the tribe of Levi. This is not the sons of Judah, which is the lineage of Mary. It says, "A tribe of Levi." It says, "Gershon, Kohath, and Merari." And the sons of Kohath, here's his sons, Amram, Izhar, and Hebron, and Uziel. Now, Amram would be the Imran. And the children of Amram, here it is, Aaron and Moses, and here she is, Miriam, the sister of Aaron and Moses. And this is one of the false statements, one of the confused comments in the Quran. It's just like the Quran says that Haman, the prime minister in the book of what's the book there? Esther. And the book of Esther. He was the prime minister to the king there. And they said in the Quran, they list Haman as being the prime minister to Pharaoh at the time that Moses was demanding to let the Hebrew children go free. Well, Moses to Esther is quite a stretch. Esther comes after Moses led the children out of the nation of Egypt through the wilderness into the, and then they went into the promised land after the time of the judges, after the time of the kings, into the captivity, and that's when Esther takes place. And so that's yet another confusing portion of the scripture. See, basically, some of these guys heard some of these Christian stories, or Jewish stories, I should say, Old Testament stories and New Testament stories, and they kind of mixed them up. And Mary and Miriam got mixed up so that Mary becomes used interchangeably as Miriam sometimes, and Miriam gets used as Mary. And just an evidence that the Quran is not to be trusted, that it is not the Word of God. God would certainly remember what he inspired to be written in First Chronicles chapter 6. He would have remembered that if he indeed was responsible for the passages in the Quran as well. And you know, somebody is responsible for the passages in the Quran, but it's certainly not the God of the Bible, Jehovah God. And you know, this is one of the problems we have with the Quran. So in response to our question here about imam, or I'm sorry, imam, that's a cleric there, the father of Mary, Imran, that is just simply not true. You can go to Luke chapter. What is it? I got about a minute left here. Let me see if I can see it real quick. In Luke chapter 3, you have the lineage of Mary, and it says that, talking about Mary here, talking about Jesus here in verse 23, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph. And then it says, which is the son of Heli. And Heli would be his maternal grandfather. Over in Matthew's gospel, he has the lineage of Joseph, but this jumps to Jesus' maternal grandfather, and that's not Imran. Well, the Quran is a false gospel. It's not another gospel. It's a false gospel, and that's something to be rejected. Well, keep tuned. We're going to be on another half an hour. Stay with us for the second half of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to join in this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to have you give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And get you on the air here this evening. And also a reminder, brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, the home of the homemade pizza. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, you say, well, I don't live in Ohio. I don't live near Cleveland where I can go eat pizza there at East Coast Pizza. What good does this do for me? Well, maybe you want to start a pizza shop. Maybe you want to add pizza to an existing shop that you already have, an existing restaurant. And if you're looking for a great recipe for pizza, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza shop or add pizza to your line of, in your own restaurant for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights on Turney Road at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here this evening. And we got a busy number of calls coming in, busy night here tonight. And we have got, I believe, our next caller up is Bill. Bill, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi.
Hi, good evening.
My question has to do with the subject of forgiveness.
Yes, sir.
And I thought I knew this subject pretty well, but mm-hmm. I started to talk to people about it, and I realized people have a different views on Jesus' teaching on forgiveness.
All
and
right.
I want to ask you about see if I got it right or wrong.
Okay.
But starting with the Lord's Prayer, where he says, you know, forgive the trespasses of others, so God will forgive us.
Right.
Well, turning to some of these recent events, like let's say South Carolina, that terrible thing that happened down there. The first thing that happened, the families that had these things happen to them, the first thing they said was that they already forgave the person who did these things.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful thing, but I have a hard time understanding how can you forgive if the person doesn't even ask for forgiveness.
Well, that's actually a question I've wondered about myself, you know, because you talked about in the Lord's Prayer, you know, where he said, you know, to forgive and forgive others as they trespass against us and all. But I was thinking over here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, and Jesus was teaching on forgiveness there. And see if this ties in with what you're saying. In verse 21, it says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." And then he goes on and gives a parable dealing with forgiveness. But when we look at this elsewhere, and I was trying to find the other passage here, dealt with the same. There's a couple of them dealing with forgiveness in the church and all, I am just not coming up with the passage right here, right away, where he says,
you
as oft as your
my,
brother.
My question is going, though. Basically, what I'm boiling down to is doesn't it imply that the person wants to be forgiven?
Right, and that's the one I was looking at where he talks about as often as your brother, you know, comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you're supposed to forgive him. But that was the key here. Let's see. I'll come up with it hopefully here sooner than later.
I'm having a hard time seeing if I'm in error in my own thought. That's kind of where I'm going. I'm not saying anybody else is wrong.
Yeah, let me look up a little.
If it happened against my family or whatever, and like this occasion, how what good does it do for me to publicly just say, well, I've already forgiven him?
Yeah,
I pray for his conversion, but what does that do?
Yeah, let me go back up a little further here, Matthew chapter 18. And it says in verse number 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man, the publican. And what he's talking about there is if you have somebody who trespasses, you know, wrongs you in some fashion, you can go to him and tell him his fault and try to get that right. And this largely has to do with within the church. And what you're talking about has somebody without, you know, outside of the church. In this case, you know, a terrible crime that was committed, you know, loved ones that were murdered. The church was violated. And when Peter comes to him talking about this the subject of forgiveness, again he says, Lord, in verse 21, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Tell seven times. And one of the other Gospels touches on this again. I can't remember whether it's Luke or Mark that touches on this same passage. And I'm flipping through here. Hopefully I'll find it. It's kind of hard, you know, talking on the radio and trying to marshal my thoughts and flip through and find something at the same time. But and again, this has to do, you know, with fellow believers. And, you know, you don't want to be unforgiving in your heart so that you become bitter. And I know that's what they're trying not to do. And having never been in the situation that they're in, I'm sure to be able to do that, God would have to give you grace to do that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too, that I was going to point out. Forgiveness and forgetfulness is not always the same thing. Now, I'm thankful that God forgives us of our sins, but he also, you know, forgets our sins. You know, he doesn't hold them against us. But I don't have the ability that God has to forget what somebody has done. I've heard people say that if you don't forget somebody's sin, you haven't really forgiven them. And an illustration that I've used with that in the times past is if you were in your yard and your neighbor's yard has got a little fence between you and their yard and he's got a dog over there, and while the neighbor's there, you go into the neighbor's yard and the dog's fine, wags his tail, you pat him on the head, he's nice and happy and nice and friendly. And then one day your neighbor's not home and your kids are playing and their ball goes into the neighbor's yard and you think, well, the neighbor's dog is out, but it's a friendly dog, it's not going to bother me. And you go into the neighbor's yard to get the ball and the dog bites you. He growls at you and bites you. Well, the neighbor wasn't home. The dog is doing what a dog does. He's protecting his territory. Well, you can forgive the dog. You see where I'm going with this. You can forgive the dog for doing what a dog will do, you know, doing what his nature compels him to do, but you don't want to forget what that dog did. So the next time the ball goes into the neighbor's yard, you're not going to hop the fence and get bit again. You know, you want to remember what the dog's nature is. And, you know, when you look at people outside the church in particular who are not saved, we understand that they're going to do what their nature compels them to do. And this guy down in South Carolina that shot up this church, you know, he has a sin nature. He was being motivated by his sin nature and by, you know, I believe satanic influences to do this heinous act. And, you know, to say we forgive him, I sure hope that they're not forgetting. Because to have this guy come to trial, you know, the Bible is very clear in terms of capital punishment, all the way back to Genesis chapter 9, I believe it is, that if somebody slays somebody, kills somebody, that their life should be forfeit. And so I would hope that in the trial of this individual, that they would say, well, we may have forgiven him, but we can't forget what he did. And you know, this man is in, you know, as long as this man's alive, other people are in danger if this man goes free. And so there is a danger there of conflating forgiveness and forgetfulness as the same thing. I'm sorry, I cannot find right at the moment that passage where he says, as oft, you know, if my brother comes to me and asks me for forgiveness, maybe I'm just misremembering it at the moment. But hopefully that does touch on somewhat of what you're asking.
Okay. Yep, thank you.
All right. Well, Bill, I appreciate that. And yeah, we do need to be forgiving, because if we're not, and I thank you for the call there, if we're not forgiving, we're going to be consumed with bitterness. And the Bible says bitterness will spring up, you know, and it'll take over. It's, you know, the illustration there is like a vine of poison ivy, in a sense, is what I always think about it. Springing up, it'll destroy you, and it'll affect those around you. And you don't want to be consumed with bitterness. You have to sometimes put these things into the Lord's hands and let him take care of it. If God gives you grace to forgive somebody, that's great. But at the same time, you know, sometimes we have to remember that the neighbor's dog may bite, because that's his nature. All right, well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you've got a question, you give us a call, 888-677-9673. And it looks like we have got, let's see, I believe Nancy's next. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you very much, Pastor Al. Very interesting program so far. And I just wanted, this is more really a praise report, and I was just very overjoyed. I have several grandchildren, and the youngest one is 4 and a half, Landon, and he's been raised, you know, from the time he was born. Actually, he's adopted. He's actually my son and his wife, Rinsa. So he's been raised by my son and his wife, who are very much on fire for the Lord. You know, he's my son. You know, born-again Christians, they witnessed everybody, and they just show the joy of the Lord. Well, I was just so overjoyed tonight. We had a family get-together, and all of a sudden, Landon is 4 and a half. He's very articulate, very gregarious, you know, talks to absolute strangers. And he says, Grandma, he says, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Hmm. And here he is witnessing to me, and he's never done this before. And when I was talking to his mother, and he was asking me other questions, and like quizzing me, 4 and a half. And so I was talking to his mother, and he said that he does that with everybody, with complete strangers. He just goes out in public and starts witnessing to people. And I was thinking about Psalm 8:2, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings.
Mm-hmm.
As thou art during strength because of thy name. Would that be an applicable verse for, you know, my grandson being, you know, appearing to validly witness to people? Or if you could think of other verses or some insight on that, I'd appreciate it.
How old is your grandson?
4 and a half.
4 and a half. Well, I guess that would probably be getting a little beyond the
well,
age
really
of babes
babe,
and sucklings, but
you know,
but I understand the principle there.
Yeah,
and you know, it is amazing. Out of the mouths of children, people said. I'm thinking of a gentleman that I knew that was a down in Florida. He was in the Pensacola area, and he was a city bus driver. And you know, he sent his kids to a Christian school because he wanted them to get a good education. He made a good living driving the bus, and his great love in life was playing golf. And he sent his kids to a Christian school. It turned out it was run by a Baptist church, an independent Baptist church in the area. And he did it because he wanted them to get a good education. They had a better track record than the public schools there. And so he said, all of a sudden one day the kids came home, and his one little girl came in and said, Daddy, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't trust Jesus as your Savior. He said he got
goodness.
Mad. And
oh, really?
He went to the school to talk to the principal about that. But it was that witness from his little girl that resulted in him trusting Christ as his Savior and then going on into the ministry himself.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was all because of a young child. I don't remember how old she was at the time, but she wasn't very old. It's just these are things she picked up in the chapel at the school there that she was going to. And God will use, you know, these statements from little children oftentimes. And he'll speak through them. Now, not disparaging your grandchild here by any means, but I tell people oftentimes, if God could use Balaam's donkey, he can use us.
Yes, I was thinking about that.
He can use anybody. And, if we know what Christ did for us, we can be a witness of that. And that's enough. And even young children, the Bible says we have to become like a little child.
Yes.
We have to put ourselves completely in his hands and trust him completely. And so sometimes little children can understand this. They can believe it. And even though they themselves may not have yet put Christ or trusted Christ as their Savior, they still understand the truth of that message.
I'm not 100% sure he's saved, because you just don't know. But I mean, Christine, my daughter-in-law, she just says he just does this all the time with strangers. Yeah. She just goes up to anybody and she said most of the time they won't even answer him. Mm. Some of them that are, born again, they were like delighted that he's asking, and they get picked up on it. But he will talk a little, he will pursue us.
That shows that at least the truth of the gospel message is being put in his heart. I remember when I was growing up, I grew up in an independent Baptist church. And when I was growing up, I cannot think of a time in my life when I ever doubted the gospel story. Mm-hmm. I wasn't saved until I was about 8 or 9 years old. Exactly. But when I was a little kid, I remember going to church in the morning on Sunday morning and thinking, about the gospel and what about this and what about that. But I never doubted it. I just always believed it was true. But it I just is. Wasn't saved because I never asked Jesus to be my Savior.
Well, I think that would explain when you talk to somebody, have you trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior? And somebody that will, has always heard that and believes it, they say, oh, yeah, from the time I was born, or, when they make statements like that. So,
Well, the devil's belief.
You believed. But anyhow, I was just very happy that he's going in that direction. I hope he keeps up that zeal.
I'll keep praying for him.
Thank you very much. And, I'm just really perturbed, like we were talking about before, the Supreme Court decision, about same-sex marriage and how they're coming down already like that. You heard about this. Sweet Cakes, the bakery.
Oh, out in, was it Oregon, I think it is?
They put a gag order.
Yes, they're not allowed to even talk about it.
They can't even talk about it. That's totally taking away, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Yes. It's like, what country are we living in? That's the most extreme that I've heard of. But
we need to pray.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
Well, thank you, Nancy. Appreciate the call tonight. And God bless. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you.
And, I wanted to mention, too, our previous caller. I was looking for a verse, and I just could not find it. And as soon as he hung up, almost immediately found it. The verse I was looking for was in Luke chapter 17, where in Luke chapter 17, starting verse 3, Jesus says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And, that's not easy to do. That takes God to enable you to do that. And there's what our caller was asking about. Isn't there supposed to be something in there where the person should ask for forgiveness? And, I think that certainly is helpful in the forgiveness process. And if somebody wrongs us and they ask for forgiveness, I do believe that we as believers, we should forgive them. And, of course, he was asking about the guy that shot up the people in that church down in South Carolina. And he has not, to my knowledge, asked for forgiveness. And so he was asking about how they were able to forgive him. That would take a work of the Lord to enable you to forgive somebody, especially in that situation. But there it is, Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. All right, back to our callers here. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we've got a few minutes left. You can call us 888-677-9673. Tom's been waiting patiently on the phone. Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Well, Pastor, how you doing?
Hi, good evening. Welcome. Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, good talk. Good listening to you. I enjoy it every chance I get. Anyway, regarding your first caller.
Yes.
She brought up the subject of Greece and the situation there,
mm-hmm.
the currency crisis, and made some comments and everything. And I'm just wondering, too, is it prudent? I mean, what's our alternative? I mean, if we could face anything is possible anymore in light of that Supreme Court decision, anything is possible in this country anymore. And there certainly is a lot of people talking about the coming calamity in America.
Oh, you know, you bring up an interesting point, and we might talk about this on the radio sometime more extensively. We only got about 3 minutes left here tonight, and I apologize there, and another caller wants to get in. But I was going to say, we need to talk about that sometime, because there's a lot of sources, secular, religious, et cetera, that are all looking to this fall being kind of a tumultuous fall or autumn. And I think it's prudent for us as Christians, like I was saying with our caller earlier, to be prepared so we can take care of ourselves, our families, and be a blessing to those around us.
Yeah, I'm going to have to hook up with you on that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and just some simple basic things, again, as I said, have some cash on hand.
I'm just wondering, is it safe to really have a lot of money in the bank?
Well, you know, it's supposedly... It's insured by the federal government, but if the federal government goes bust like they did in Greece, they're talking about confiscating the money in the bank. And they did that previously a year or two ago in, I believe it was Cyprus. They did just that. So it could happen. It could happen. We need to be prepared. And we need mostly to be assured of our relationship with Christ, because
Absolutely.
He's the one that's going to see us.
We've still
got to
live in this world, too, and we've got to be wise stewards of what he's given us.
Yeah.
So. Okay, with that, I'll let you go. And
all right,
thanks,
Tom.
Joe, and thank you very much for letting me get on.
Hey, appreciate the call tonight, Tom. Thanks for your patience and waiting. And got just a short time left, and we've got John calling in as well. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor Al. Yeah.
Hey, good evening. Let me let you know, I got less than 2 minutes. So.
Okay. So then really quickly regarding young children being saved, I sort of wonder about that sometimes, because I believe that I've heard people say some, they were, raised from a very young age, and, they knew the gospel and they understood sin and they were saved, they say, and I'm not trying to say that's wrong, but I mean, I just relate it to my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know what sin was when I was that young, not until much, much later. And I mean, I think that it just seems like that's with most people. It's just like, I mean, I'm sure you got to teach a child when they're real young. I mean, we should start right away, of course, pray with them, teach them the Word of God. But, you kind of wonder if it's really,
if they
can understand what sin is even, really.
Yeah, well, and we do. We have to get the Bible into them to become a part of them when they're young, so they can grow up with the Word of God working in their heart. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when they reach the age where they can make, the application of the gospel and their need for salvation, that happened with me when I was like 6 or 7 years old. And, I'm sorry, 7 or 8 or 9 years old. I'll get there yet. And I realized I was lost because of my sin and on my way to hell, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. Even though I believed those things before, I wasn't saved before. And I appreciate the call tonight, John, but I'm out of time. And I want to thank you for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.